send adapter, the USB 3.0 adapter, and both of those, I think, were coming in around, I've looked the numbers here. I know in real life I was getting about 80 megabits on the thing, and then I ran across an article here just recently on YouTube where the guy had a bunch of older SanDisk 95 cards, and he bought one new one, the 170 Extreme Pro card, and he wanted to know what the difference was between them. And in his testing, he found out that SanDisk had a another USB or another SD card reader that was only just like a little USB adapter on it, and the card is just a very small adapter. And in his testing, he found out that gave it as close as he was going to get to the true 170 megabytes per second transfer. The other cards were not, and that's what I found also. And it was really a performance increase that you won't believe. I was really amazed. And the and in his testing, he found out that his older 95 cards from SanDisk were giving the same performance speed as the 170 cards. So I don't know what SanDisk did except change the label on the cards, but he was happy that there was no difference in speed, and that all he had to do was buy a new adapter and get maximum speed out of his old or new cards there, Chuck. So for $12 or so, it made quite a difference, Chuck. WAKKN, WAKHB.
Yeah, some of the cards have been this made their USB and then when it gets to SD cards, it really slows down a little bit. But what were you using, a Crystal Benchmark for your desk?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember what program I was using. Yeah, they do make a 250 and a 350, something like that. I'm not talking those. I'm talking the 170s. He had a 95 and a 170, and he wasn't seeing any difference in speed. So, like I said, this adapter made all the difference in the world. So it's well worth it, Chuck, for reading your SD cards.
Yeah, I got a new one. It works pretty well. Most of the SD cards I have are, you can read them at about 100. These are the, $5, $6, $7 ones. You can read them at 100, and some of them will get up to 20 or 30 megabytes on writing, which is quite good for the price. But in order to get the right speed up there, you're going to have to pay the piper.
Yeah, I'm getting 156 on the read and 98 on the write, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm going to pay the piper. And on my CS card, megabits per second, which is roughly about 150 megabits per second. I got that at a pretty good price a number of years ago. So they ran out of my sale. You know, it's 64 gig CS card for $40. I thought that was a good deal.
Yeah, these cards, and I don't have the top end of the 171. I have the Extreme Plus, not the Extreme Pro, and I have 128 gigabytes. And Best Buy had them on sale at Christmas time for $20 a piece, Chuck.
You mean Worst Buy actually had a good deal?
Yeah, I initially bought a 256 one from them, and the thing within a week or trying to use it with the Mavic, it crapped out on me. So I took it back down to the store because I bought it online, and they didn't have any of the 256 in stock in the store, and I wanted a card, and they had the 128s for only for $20, and so I picked up a couple of those. I couldn't beat the deal.
Looking up back to the beach, so I don't know what route to do, but it should have
on the motherboard. Turns out, like I said, they're not the same. One is the Intel i19B and one is the i11. I don't know the difference. I did some Googling and I found one post that recommended the one and one post that recommended the other. But when I plugged them both in, and I'm assuming it's the router. And I still haven't got the edge router working, or haven't taken the time to crawl back behind everything and unplug and replug, so I haven't plugged it in yet. But when I plugged both of them in, one of them did not get an address, and I'm wondering, should I both use the same MAC address, or is there something that the router thinks they're both the same interface and therefore doesn't give them an address. But yeah, when I had them both plugged in, the one of them, was not getting an address from the HTTP server. David, you got any experience with that? Over.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't say good morning there, Mark. You have to tell me what new computer you got there. And I assume this is running Windows 10 on the computer. And I can't think of anything offhand. When you open up the network interface, what kind of indication do you get as far as being both connected or not there, Mark?
This is the power spec that I built or bought a couple years ago. It's got an ASRock Vitality motherboard in it. And the manual, describes both interfaces, but it doesn't say, why you use one versus the other. When they're both plugged in, if I look at the network interface, if I do like an IP install, one of the interfaces is not getting DHCP stuff over.
Okay. And I'll come back to, this is on Windows 7 or Windows 10, Mark?
This is Windows 10.
Okay, go into your network adapter. I don't know if you have an icon on the desktop there. And bring up the properties once. And go to advanced change adapter settings. And are they both, I say that they're connected when they're connected, or is one X'd out, or what there, Mark?
Both devices are connected to the computer. I'm not quite sure. Both are connected to the computer. If I bring up the network, bring up network and internet settings. I will have to look at it. Let's see here. Nope, that's not it. Yeah, I was poking around with all of this stuff yesterday and found lots of stuff in different places, but I couldn't find anything. If I had them both connected, one of them would get, it would have information like, a MAC address, and I didn't look to see if it was the same. It would have an IP address, but it would be, the self-assigned one over.
Okay, you swap the cables at your PC to make sure that there are no problems on cables connections on your router, am I correct?
Try this. You have one installed, and then when the machine's up and running, plug the other one in.
I am using the Ubiquiti router that's from the ISP.
Try it one at a time.
Okay, so just only have one cable plugged in, boot the machine, wait till it comes up, and then plug in the second cable.
I'll go do that. Go ahead, Gary.
You need me.
And the
me reboot things, and I will get back to you. So you get two different IP addresses with two different NIC cards.
That's what you should have.
Okay, well, I will I'll go ahead and do that, and I'll be back. Go ahead, Gary, N8ME.
Okay, my recommendation would be to get your edge routed first
and get off your antiquated network equipment.
And at least that way you got something that's entity. I mean, of course, there's going to be some other things, but I would do that. I don't know. Personally, I don't know that I like the idea of you basically from the IoT functioning that I don't know. It depends on how you want to just work if I get that function. But I usually just, you know, you open the switch mode and put the DH.
I can't configure that Ubiquiti radio. I have no access to it.
So if you put in your edge router, then you would be able to, it would get an IP address from that, which would only be one. And then everything else would be running off your edge router and within your own DHCP scope. Everything else, you would have full control over.
Yes, but the you know, the local route, the Ubiquiti, the radio would still be doing address translation over.
But only one.
It would only be translating one address to one address, and then my edge router would translate that address into another address, right? Now, are we getting some performance hits now when the addresses do have a change? Well, I'm going to go ahead and shut down and do my see what I can do with both connections. Go ahead, David, N8ME.
Okay, very good. All right, Gary, how's things down that way? And you looks like you got your microphone configured pretty good this morning. K8OMA. Go ahead, Gary. Take it. WAKHB.
WAKFJ. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, I do or not. I just know that I've got it on the same profile, but for some reason I didn't quite know that it's doing pretty way down. Otherwise, I haven't blasted it yet. But anyways, you're not a good day, so go ahead and take it.
Working pretty well in our microphone. Anyway, David, I guess I never realized or thought about you talking about bowing. I knew you were looking at all kinds of photographic efforts. Let me see. Two things I think about bowing that ought to definitely been on your agenda. Well, you probably figure, I think it's Mount Haleakala, if I remember right. Sunrise there, and the bicycle trip thing on you. Those are two things. Neither of which I've done. However, we went there last time with our son and his family, and they went up one day for sunrise, and we said, well, that's a bit more than we can take anymore. Then they're like, that's
the well the next day. They went back up and took the bicycle trip down. And then the other things for photography, the road to Hana. So I don't know if anybody's talked to you about the road to Hana, but it's not many miles, but it'll take you a long time if you figure it out. Back to you, David, WHKSJ.
Very good, Dave. Just to set the record straight, this is my 14th visit to Maui, Dave. So I've been there, done just about everything. And except I'm not an early riser, so I don't get up to go for the sunrise. And I understand that you have to make reservations for that if you want to get up that way. Of course, unless you take a bus tour up there. And B, I've never taken the bike down. No desire to take the bike down the hill there. So we've been up there during the day, and that's got some great pictures on that. So and been down to Hana twice. And I just watched a video where people drove the back way around to Hana. So that was an interesting trip. I always wanted to know what it was like, and so that was a good video to watch there on that one. Yeah, we're staying up at the a couple days up at the Hyatt Regency there, Kanapali Beach, and then we're going up to the condo we always like to rent, that Hualani. And it's just a 5-minute walk from the best pizza on the island, at Dolly's Pizza, if you ever heard of that one. And we always enjoy getting pizzas there and or some sandwiches, sub sandwiches there at Dolly's, I think. So that's why I've been planning, Dave, aerial shots, underwater shots, and a whole bunch of telephoto shots, trying to get everything lined up, Dave. As you know how photography rich that place is, and you go through what I'm talking about doing here, a lot of SD card space. WAKKN in the group, WAKHP.
Yeah, very good, yeah. Big tons of SD cards. Yeah.
more into the local time to see something different.
It's about a 12-hour flight,
from Cleveland. We're going Cleveland to Denver to Maui. And I like that jaunt the best. You get a nice, it's about 6 hours or so, maybe eight. I forget the exact time. I'll have to double check here what the time is, the flight time from Denver to Maui. And it's a very nice way to go that way. Only one stop in between. And especially on the return flight, because you leave Maui at 8 o'clock at night, and you get into Denver at 10 o'clock in the morning. So it's a nice night flight, and you get to sleep and go from there. So it's a great way to go. Down to you there, Mark. N8ME, WAAKHP.
Got a quick comment, David.
We're listening.
Oh, okay. Do you know who made that General Store, however you pronounce the statement?
No, Dave, but you're going to tell me.
Arthur Godfrey.
Yeah, well, his his ukulele made a lot of things famous there, Dave.
Well, I just thought that was a trivial thing. One other thing, I bet you have not been this. I thought it was kind of interesting. There's a shopping center in the town where the airport is, and I can't remember the name of the town. There's a paper airplane museum.
Can't say that I've been to the Paper Airplane Museum. We do go shopping over that way, and I can't remember the name of the town over there near the airport. That's the main local shopping area, not the touristy shopping area. And we've always got some reasonable price stuff over that way. You get off the tourist strip there, Dave.
Well, this is... These airplanes and also a number of things made out of beverage cans. They had I suppose maybe something that's made out of beverage cans. There's a picture here, it's four. And this is the model of the Concorde. Pretty detailed, all made out of beverage cans. So, beverage cans of paper, also some automobiles made out of paper. And we're not talking about the typical paper airplane, but very detailed model, much more so than you might expect. Anyway, I thought I would throw that out. And your aversion to sunrise, sunsets are probably okay, but those are the two times a day for the best pictures, in my view, there, David.
Yeah, you do get some great pictures there, but I've got some very nice cloudy pictures there. You know, clouds hanging off the top of Mount Haleakala there, so you can just kind of walk into them. And I enjoy the moonscape of that area there, the pictures of that. So it's really spectacular. There's no doubt about that. And. No, but as you know, that's a national park, and there is no drone flying in national parks, Dave, so I won't be able to get any drone shots up there.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I guess I do get that. Anyway, it should be a nice, interesting trip. In a way, you already are familiar with the area, so I'm sure you're selecting a few ideas to say, that particular spot ought to make a nice drone view. Anyway, I'm trying to think. I think I stole this away from Mark. So I'll give it to Mark. If it wasn't you, Mark, I'm sorry, to whoever it was. WAKHJ.
Yeah, it was me, N8ME. Okay. I'm kind of looking forward to living vicariously for your trip, David. When are you going?
September, October.
Oh, okay. So we'll have time to prepare. Okay, I did what Chuck suggested. I powered on the computer with one network cable plugged in. I plugged in the other network cable. Of course, they are both going to switch connected to the same router. And so they're both essentially connected to the same router. The one got a, you know, an internet address, a 198.168.100, sorry, that's the gateway, 192.168.100.231. The other one did not get a connection. Now, they both show the same physical address. Chuck, does that mean they both are telling the router it's the same MAC address? Over.
I don't know what you just told me. They should have two different MAC addresses. They should be getting two different IP addresses. So, maybe a motherboard problem is too wide enough. But they should be two totally separate network adapters on the motherboard. So, how long does the wait between
I waited till Windows was up and running and I was logged into Windows. Okay, how do I get the MAC address? When I do an IP config slash all, I get an entry that says physical address. Is that the same thing? Looks like it's six hex numbers. Is that the MAC address? Over.
Yes.
All right. Both connections are showing. Let's see. Yeah, both connections are showing the same physical address. So maybe that's what's confusing my router. Over. Chuck. Nope, they both get the exact same one, exact same six bytes, so maybe that's the problem. I wonder, is that MAC address is, that's hard-coded in the machine, or in the ROM somewhere, right?
Yeah, whatever MITCAR's running, but you should have two addresses there. Open up hardware info or whatever and start snooping around. You should have two MAC addresses unless ASRock did something.
Okay, well, I will look around, but yeah, like IP config slash all just shows the same address, and I'm assuming that's the problem, that the router doesn't like. Now, I guess I could try to route two different networks and see if they would connect to that. Gary, you got any ideas? Any to me? Do you think that might be something in the BIOS rather than higher level? Out to the great wisdom is, and I'm trying to find that link again. The two interfaces are slightly different in that one's at the physical layer and one is higher up on the chain. Does that seem like to find that link again? Let's see here. What does this say? Dig into the hardware. This was one of the links, but basically they are slightly different. I'll see if I can find the link, and I'll bring it once I find it. Go ahead, Chuck. Is that something you get from Major Geek?
Yeah, or do you have either 64 or any program that will tell you what to do with your computer? And that's just a good thing. Also, on your motherboard, there should be a MAC address for each one of the MIC cards that you have in the machine.
Yesterday, where the guy described that the one NIC is at a lower level as far as the hardware goes. I mean, everybody's saying it shouldn't make any difference, that I'm going to observe. But I'm going to see if I can't find that link. But there are different levels. And now I can't find that link. So I'll keep looking. Go ahead, David. NAMD.
Yeah, you caught me going down to the printer there to get the printout. So
very good.
With two Macs at the same address, you're going to come up with big time Windows time there, Mark. So period. You can't have that in operate. You won't work. So. The ability to change the MAC address. I don't know if that was on the external card or not. I did have some software once upon a time to do that. You really don't want to mess with that, but that is possible. Have you seen that, Chuck?
Yeah, it's available out there, generally available. They do that also for.
Like you said, there may be only one hardware interface there, and on that ASRock, and it's just not going to allow you to have two different MAC addresses. Don't know what their thinking was behind it and why they would give you two network cards and not give you the ability to have them both connected simultaneously.
through there, Mark, unless they had some problems along the way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or they tried to sell the computer that way, and when people got it, then they, you know, found out that, hey, I can't have two networks connected. This thing is useless. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, marketing and
the old guys don't always agree.
Back up you there, Dave. W-A-K-F-J and a group W-A-K-H-B.
W-A-K-F-J. Just remembered a Rockford trip to Hawaii. We stop in Denver. And one possible downside of that, that you probably never thought of, we got to Denver, this was in October, and we had a little time to wait around there. Didn't think too much about it. Got on the airplane, all ready to take off, only not much is happening. And so pretty soon the captain comes on. He says, we can't take off, we're overweight. Well, turns out, you know, you got to have a lot of fuel for the long trip. And Denver's at 5,000 feet. And that particular October day was probably a record high. It was seemed like well up in the 80s. It was very, very warm in October. So if you happen to land in Denver for your stopover and it's a hot day, you may be in for surprises, David. W-A-K-F-J.
Very good, Dave. I would have never thought of that. Of course, since you've flown and had your license and everything else, those are things that come to mind. I will definitely keep an eye on the weather on the way, and of course, to see if there is an issue there in Denver on the flight kind of thing there. So, I've been through Denver once. Usually, I've gone through L.A. or San Francisco, and I just hate that red eye back from the West Coast. I've flown that too many times in business and on vacations, and I just despise that flight on the red eye from the West Coast coming in. So. At least going into Denver, you get a couple extra hours of shut eye, and you don't mind being awake in from Denver into Cleveland and kind of things like that. So we'll just have to play it by ear on that one there. Down to you there, Gary. K-E-N-O in the group, W-A-K-H-P.
Motherboard is a fatality that has a 1 instead of the I. Z270 Gaming K6. Over. Yes, sir. And I just found a section in the BIOS or the manual that talks about the dual LAN and teaming operation guide. Over. biggest bullet it says is teaming is not supported on Windows 10.
I don't know.
Yeah, but all this is saying is dual LAN with teaming enabled on this motherboard allows two single connections to act as one single connection for twice the transmission bandwidth. Over.
Okay. But if you go into the BIOS, you can try it
all I've found in the BIOS so far is the ability to enable or disable the individual NIC cards. I haven't seen any programming on them.
Well, they should label the NIC cards, but how are they?
Well, they are for this. I mean, before I went down this rabbit hole, I had one of them disabled and just had the one connected to my network, and I thought, well, I'd see what happens if I connect both of them, and I see the comment that teaming is not supported on Windows 10, so I'm guessing I can't use the two. Windows 10 isn't going to use both of them for higher bandwidth, over.
That is probably correct, but can you turn both of them on?
In the BIOS, there's a configuration to enable each interface is listed, but the only option when you click on it is to enable or disable. And right now, both are enabled. It was not obvious on the screen where I found the enable and disable, but I'm not sure there isn't something else hidden on another screen somewhere.
Okay, well, it's just hardware info at 64, and you can see both NIC cards, you can see both MAC addresses, and so forth, so forth.
Documentation for the word MAC and didn't come up with any appropriate bits, over.
Somehow I found out what it was, and somehow I forgot it now. But I do remember that occasion. So I'm going to have to look at that again. I did see, when I did Google, or didn't Google, I binged Canadian World War II radios. I did see a Marconi, a picture of a rig that was a Marconi, but I'm pretty sure that was English, the way Marconi was. I had a Marconi signal generator that I gave to Josh, KF4YLM. Right, nice signal generator. It came from the Goddard Space Center originally. Still had the NASA tag stuck on it. Yeah, the surplus from there. Yeah, I think he kind of liked having that NASA signal generator. That was a big sucker, about almost a yard cube, probably more like 30 inches cubed. Yeah, it was a beast, I tell you that. But it was a nice generator, and was in good shape. I need somebody else to come by where I can give them more of that kind of stuff. Fellas, I'm going to say 7-3. I kind of like Johnny used to tell us, I couldn't got anything to tell you because I hadn't done anything, and I'm just about fit that category here in the last few days. But We'll catch you a little bit later. This evening, maybe? I don't know. I listened last night for a while. Didn't get on, but I did listen. And we'll see what we do with the snow coming here tomorrow. I don't know that we're going to get any or not. Didn't make much difference. It won't last long in March. It gets up in the 50s again this weekend. And even at 57, I think, on Monday or something, it's looking like. So whatever's around here won't be here but a day at the most. And that's how we like it. Look pretty and get out of here. WB4IKL, this is WA4PGI, say 73, but I will be listening.
Okay, WA4PGI, WB4IKL. You should have just went ahead and said it was a boat anchor. That would have covered it. Signal generator, boat anchor. Yes, indeed. A boat anchor. Yeah, there's a lot of boat anchors around. Anyway, yeah, that's the best kind of snow. Come and go. The perfect snow is Christmas night. You wake up and it has snowed, and it's one of them ones that stuck to the trees and the grass, but it didn't stick on the road or the sidewalk. But when it wet snows, and it looks pretty, and it's beautiful, till about 10 o'clock, 11, and it's all gone. That's the perfect snow. Anyway. Yep. Well, like I said, the days are chunking on, and every day that goes by is less likely to be in the snow to stay around any length of time. So, looks like we got a pretty good winter going on here, so I don't want to complain about it. Anyway, I'm going to follow Gene on at the door here, and, well, I ain't going at the door, but anyway, I'm going to get off of here. And all that, good to hear everybody this morning. Yeah, get on there sometime at night, Gene. It's kind of slack here. There's nobody but Woody and Les and myself and somebody. Sometimes it ain't but two. Sometimes it ain't nobody. I don't know what's going on. And all these big radio people, Tim and old Dave and WA2ROC, we ain't heard him, and Johnny don't get on, and I tell you, things are slack, and it ain't gonna be another 2 or 3 weeks, and it's gonna get even slack at night, because the time will change, and it, it might still be outside at 10 o'clock, you never know. Anyway, everybody take care. Have a good one. Don't hurt yourself, LS, moving all that boat anchor stuff around there. And we'll catch y'all later. N3RFO, this is WB4IKL. 73, but listen.
WB4IKL, N3RFO. Okay, guys, 73 is to you, and I will do the same. Slide out of here. I'll try not to hurt myself, Ray, but... Sometimes it's, I'm going to go over, I think my Charlie is giving a class today on Adrenos, and I'm going to, he managed to let the church let him do it in the hall there, so I think there's a few people going to come. He told me, he said, come on over lunchtime and at least get a hot dog, so I may go over there and see what that's all about. We'll check that out and come on back. And one more thing I want to say about those Eddystones, they made a really nice couple of regenerative receivers back in the early 20s. That's where I remember them from. And then, as a matter of fact, I was just reading something about those, about that Eddystone. He called it the Eddystone 2. It had two tubes in it. But just a few days ago, I was reading about that. And that's how, so I thought that was odd that when you said Canadian, that popped right into my mind. And that other one, I wish the heck I could remember that. I want to say it's Raycal, but I don't think that's correct. Raycal, I think, is an American company, but I'm not positive about that. But anyway, yeah, Woody, old books are good. I like to read those things. I have a pile of them here myself, but chances are you've got some I don't have. So I try to get those things, and I just read them and wear them out looking at them. It takes me many times to go through them and read to get everything out, and then sometimes I'll put them down for 2-3 years and read them again.
So they're lots of fun there. I really enjoy old books, especially, I mean, old stuff about radio.
That's for sure. So with that, I will go out to go to the right, I'll say, because I'm a lefty. I push my stuff to the right. And we'll talk with you guys later. So have a great day. I'll pass on around here to Mr. Woodrow to let him close around.
N4MQ and 3RFO.
Alrighty, last man standing. Got you covered. 7-3, Mr. Ray, and Mr. G, and now Mr. Lynn.
That'll be good.
Got to go out here and do more stuff. Get about cleaning up and organizing. Trying to make things happen. And yeah, we got a bunch of books. A bunch of things that I think you'll find of interest. And we shall see how it all turns out. It's just a matter of putting things together day after day here. Well, let's see. I guess that'll do it. The movie was Live and Let Die, done by James Bond in Jamaica. Check you guys all later. Have a good one. And I'll say 7-3 till tonight. 10-4-MQ, saying 7.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
The possible occurrence of a sporadic event. And so I sat there and listened to it with very, very great interest in that.
Okay, thanks for the information on Roy
senior moment here. But anyhow, I hope they're coming along okay. And we would be interested in knowing how to contact them. So, with that, we'll say 7-3. And are there any other comments for the net before we close? This is K4KRE.
Whiskey Foxtrot 1 Lima.
I'm sorry you're late here. Hi, Bill, WF1L. This is K4KRE. Go ahead.
Yeah, I tried to break in just before Janice had her turn there and didn't quite make it. Okay, a couple of things. Working on a 80 and 160 directional loop antenna. Got it about two-thirds of the way constructed and gonna be working on that today before the weather goes sour. Because it looks like it's kind of rainy. The rain a possibility here. We're overcast down in Delaware, and just a miserable looking day. Gray overcast, but not raining yet. So hopefully that'll work out. And got my log submitted for the and got a confirmation back from Dr. Skipper, and that's what's taken care of. And let's see, what else? There was something else I wanted to say, and it's gone off into the ether. So I'll say goodbye and wish everybody a pleasant day, and sorry I was late. This is WF1L passing it back to K4KRE for the final.
Come up.
WF1L, WA, this is K4KRE. Okay, glad you got in here, Bill.
Are there any other further comments for the AWA net at this time? This is K4KRE.
Comment from W2AO.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi to Bill, WF1L. Nice to work you there in the AM party, Bill, and nice signal. And Paul, thank you very much for taking the net. We copy you very well. K4KRE and company, W2 Atlantic Ocean.
W2AO, K4KRE. Okay, thanks, Sue. Are there any other additional comments for the AWA net? This is K4KRE.
Good job, Paul. AB2RE.
Thanks, Dan.
AB2RA, WF1L.
Right, well, I guess that's it. We'll close the AWA net for Wednesday. Whatever the day is. we'll say 7-3, and we'll be looking for you on Friday. This is K4KRE closing the Antique Wireless Association net for today.
AB2RA, WF1L.
Yeah, I heard you faintly in there. I didn't make out your signal, and I tried to get them to listen for you, but your signal's come up quite a bit since then. How you doing, Bill? AB2RA.
Doing pretty fine. Working on a loop antenna, a receive-only loop antenna for 80 and 160. It's a cruciform PVC pipe arrangement with coaxial 75 ohm TV coaxial formed in a loop, and the jacket split at the top, so they actually create little dipoles. So I'm working on getting that finished, and I want to go ahead and give that a whirl. So before I try my beverage on the ground. So I've had this before, and I had the cruciform already built up, so I needed to just restring it, and then I'll retune the capacity on it to see if I can improve the the queue on the circuit. I did went to your Wireless Girl website and entered my comments on the ARRL site as far as additional technician privileges, which I am against, especially on 40 meters. 40 meters is crowded enough already. So there we go. So we'll wish you a very pleasant rest of your day, and hopefully you get some sleep sometime, sweetheart. We got to, you know, the CPAP machine is certainly not doing you any good if it's keeping you awake. I believe you said something earlier in the week, the last time you were on, about getting a fixture for your that goes in your mouth. My sister-in-law tried one of those, and she didn't have any luck with it, but she was able to adjust to the CPAP machine. So hopefully the bite-on fixture will help you get to sleep and take away the vacuum cleaner sound of the CPAP machine. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's not so much the sound. Of course, that is a lot quieter with the newer machine. I've always tossed and turned a lot because my right hip and my right knee have been injured, and I toss and turn a lot trying to find a comfortable position. So I've always been a light sleeper. And I had a couple of surgeries for skin cancer on my face, and then I did 12 weeks of chemo, and ever since then, I don't like anything blowing on my face or touching my face. It's very irritating. I'm grateful to have a face at all. By the end of the 12 weeks, it looked like a grocery tray, a hamburger with a couple of marbles stuck in it where the eyes were. And it took quite a while for the skin to regrow, but I was seriously committed to beat that. And it's been 10 years now since the initial surgery, and nothing major since then. But that's part of the problem, is that mask, regardless of whether it's just a fixture for the nose or a full face mask, that's the problem. And I'm hoping to explore the dental approach, but it's possible because I don't have any upper teeth that they can't make one for me. I have to look into that, and again, I'm going to have to really hard sell this to the doctor. They won't go with a pacemaker or something unless I go through this torture. And hopefully, after several months of this, without any significant results. If the dental device doesn't work, we can move on to something else. The sleep apnea that I have isn't that bad. The normal range is 0 to 5, and mild is 5 to 14, moderate is 14 to 30, and severe is 30 and up. And I fall right at the borderline of normal and mild. So, you know, the amount of sleep I'm losing is doing some damage as well. And I just have to look at the cost, the benefits, the trade-offs. I really don't think it's worth it. But that's just my opinion. I have to get the doctor to agree with me. Way too long a transmission, but that's what's going on. You have done amazing work there on that small lot, and your signal has improved so much since the first time you got on the air from that new location. Amazing small lot installation. F1L, WF1L, AB2RA.
Yeah, AB2RA, Whiskey Fox 1 Lima. Well, thank you very much for the compliment. Not much deserved. I've been having this kind of a setup for the years that I was languishing over in Virginia with no bedroom or no backyard to speak of, and I only had random wires shot out the back of the house into the tree line behind the house there. So this has been paradise for me as far as having a decent antenna to do anything with. The thing that has amazed me the most is this dipole that I put up for 80 meters. It continues to amaze me how well it performs and how well it hears. I wish I had enough space to get the 160 version, but I'm about 40 feet short on the fan to where it would work. So, there you go. And then the other antenna that I put up, the four element tri-bander, that has been my DX dream for a long time, and it's working pretty well. I can usually get people on the second or third call if I've got the amplifier going and I'm pointing right at them with the Aggie. So that's been a lot of fun too. And it relieves a lot of frustration on the part of the operator here, that's for sure. After years and years of calling fruitlessly, I could point the four element Yagi at the station that I want to contact, turn the wick up on the amplifier to legal limit, and make a few calls, and by golly, there they are coming back to me. So that's definitely been a big payoff as far as I'm concerned too. So we'll see how it goes in the next big DX thing. The next time they're at Scarborough Reef, I'll give it a shot and see how good I can get. But I'm not holding my breath on that one, especially if they can't get above the waterline. So I think that whole Scarborough Reef thing is a joke. So anyway, but that's just my opinion. And it's probably some sour grapes on my part as well. Okay, Dennis, well, you have a great day, and try and get some sleep, and we will talk to you later. AB2RA. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that I responded on your website to the ARRL on the additional technician privileges on 40, and I declared against it. So I said 40 meters is already crowded enough. We don't need any more technicians on there. So there we go. So we'll see if we get anything good come out of that. So this is WF1L 73, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much for commenting in the ARRL survey. The number of comments, I'm sure that people that oppose what our group has been doing will try and stuff the ballot box, but at least ARRL appears to be listening during this short window of time. It was, my God, they only gave us 10 days to comment, and this thing is moving fast. And my God, I hope this thing is over soon, because I want my life back. As Joe observed earlier, it's been a full-time job. And I hope there will be a moratorium on further petitions until after I die. That's my sincerest wish. But thank you for taking 5-10 minutes to comment on that. Anyway, 73 Bill, I gotta go up and catch Don before he goes out. I have a couple of errands for him to run on the way. WF1L, AB2RA, 73.
Bye bye, have a great day.
WF1L, WF1L. You copy me today? I guess not. W2AO is going to take a nap. W2AO, testing W2 Atlantic Ocean.
I gotta bring my antenna. I hate the thought, but I gotta bring my antenna down. Is it the
because of the stupid real estate model I got going on in town? They put housing prices to the point where ordinary people. I mean, they've got a.
Sorry, I'm listening. Double
from the first part of that.
What does a 705 do for the 703 won't do?
I don't even know what a 703 is, Doug, and I didn't know what a 705 was until I saw it down in Orlando, but it's an HF up to 440, I think, all-mode transceiver that you can almost stick in your back pocket.
Now, 703 is a low-wattage 706.
Well, that's kind of what this is, except, I don't know. I think they've totally redesigned everything. They make a backpack for it to where it fits in the backpack, and you can then operate it with your telephone over Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi setting. I don't know. It seemed like they undoubtedly think there's a niche for that.
Well, it's apparently it's smaller inside.
Yeah, it's got a snap-in battery, and They just make it to make it portable. It's 5 watts with the small battery and 10 watts with the big battery. And Mac, I have news for you.
I am ready.
I am a double dangle kind of guy.
Oh, it came in, did it?
And works perfect.
Now, what does that mean?
It means I'm now looking at 3 monitors.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, kid.
Now, what'd you all do, Ed? I don't know anything about computers, but I assume you assign one monitor one program and another monitor another program or whatever, right?
You can drag and drop anything on any monitor, Doug. Did I double with somebody?
No, I'm just letting that kind of work its way through my feeble little mind.
Right now I've got 4 monitors. I've got Logger 32 on one. I've got this Flex Radio on one. On monitor number 3, I've got DX Summit and Club Log both up and running, visible, each taking up half the screen. And on the 4th monitor, I've got the SCAT software.
DX Summit and what?
Club Log.
Where are you working with Club Log? Is it also a cluster?
I double with you, Sam.
Club Log, is that also a cluster?
No, it tells me what I've worked and on what band.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that's the easy way to see. If I see something that comes up on DX Summit or on Logger 32, either one,
I can easily look at Club Log and see if I've worked it on that band or in that mode.
Is that all coming off of one computer?
Right now I've got 2 computers running, Doug. 2 and 2. 2 monitors and off of 2 computers each.
Okay. You know, Sam's, I just noticed something here.
Sam's running 3 monitors off of 1 computer.
You know, the thing I don't understand, Sam, is wonder why the double dongle works and 2 dongles won't.
I don't know, Mac, but let me tell you this. The double dangle, call it a dongle, I call it a dangle. The double dangle is made by a company called StarTech.com. And the instructions they sent with you are superb. They also have a website that has frequently asked questions and so forth and so on, which is superb. I would strongly recommend that you visit that website, whether you're using their stuff or not. They've got a frequently asked question section, and they answer a lot of questions.
I'm
only going to buy StarTech stuff from here on out. If they make it, I'm buying it from them.
What's the name of the company?
StarTech, one word, StarTech. Doug, I'm using one. I couldn't get mine to work at all. I'm using one computer, and I'm using one VGA output from that computer to power a monitor, and I've got I'm calling it a double dangle, but it's a double USB into HDMI adapter. I plug it into a USB port on the computer, and I'm feeding two HDMI televisions.
Okay, and then on the software package you've got, I guess there's numbers 1, 2, 3. And you tell each program where to go?
Well, that's in part of Windows. You can, it recognizes that you have three monitors. You can orient them 1, 2, and 3 however you want. You can stack them where you can do side to side. And I thought it was you that that some time ago talked to Mike about doing that. It may have been Walt that did that. I'm not sure. It was either you or Walt. And from your question, I think it must have been Walt. But what I do is when you designate one of those three, I had to designate one as my main monitor. And so when I turn the computers on, my desktop comes up on that main monitor. And if I open up a program, say I open up, DX Summit, I can then push it off of the main monitor, either on the monitor 2 or monitor 3.
Do you know the model number on that thing, Doug? Sam?
You guys double. Go ahead, Nick.
The only one, I'm on their website, but I'm not finding that particular.
What I want is a
double USB to VGA.
They may not make that. I'm not sure. It would be a USB to a double VGA.
Correct.
So I would just put. I would search for USB. The way the nomenclature is for what I bought was a USB 2 HDMI 32. I don't know what the 32 is for, but. USB to VGA is what I would search on their site.
Yeah, I'm on it now.
Did you find it?
I'm looking at them.
Okay.
So is it possible that you could buy one single 60-inch monitor and put four, divide it up in four faces, make all this work, or has to be a separate monitor?
Well, you wouldn't need to do that. You just want one monitor, and you can. Windows will let you open up multiple programs, and you can size them to fit the monitor. And yeah, I think you could do what you're saying.
Without any kind of an adapter at all, you just need the one monitor, and then you can size the different programs as you want to size them to put them on that big 60-inch screen.
I'm not going to do any of this. I'm just asking that question.
Well, it's kind of interesting. It really is. And I just noticed something, Mike, that I cannot explain. My desktop comes up on my designated monitor. We're okay as far as that goes. But I've got that little bar. What's that little bar with the programs on it at the bottom? Like where you're... Let's see what happens if I click on this.
The taskbar.
Okay, I've got a taskbar on all three monitors. But I don't have the icon. I'm sorry, Doug, I doubled with you. It shows the same task, but I do not have the icons on monitor 2 and 3. The icons are on the desktop, are on one. The taskbar is on all of them, but I don't have the icons on 2 and 3.
That's correct.
Just a blank screen, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's the way mine are.
Is it? Okay. But and they're frequently asked questions. It tells you, you know, it's how to uninstall these drivers and if you don't need them, and how to install this driver if you do need it, and if you want to use one of their product or any two adapters that has to have the same chipset. It tells you about how to go about finding out what kind of a chipset your video card is using. It's just got a lot of information.
Up that IC705. This is K9JEP.
Well, did you look at all the? Did you look at all the details on
it? It only weighs 2.2 pounds.
That's
and
nice.
It is maximum 10 watts. I guess they did that to compete with that KX3.
It fits right in the backpack, and it's got it's designed to fit that. I mean, for that radio, that's the purpose of it.